Good evening. This is Jane from Blog Talk Radio. We had a lively episode 15 minutes ago, which lasted 45 minutes. And we had a guest caller from New York who was trying to challenge the constitutional belief system. I'll continue after this song.
And all I have surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate. I stumble and I fall, but still you always pick me up whenever I would call. We humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the glory. Salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the throne. I offer up myself to you, protected by your hand. My dreams and schemes and all I have is surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate. I stumble and I fall. Always pick me up whenever I will call. We humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the throne. We give you all the glory. Salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the
tonight's episode will continue along the veins of examining the constitutional parameters in which a president should operate and how the perception of Congress can alter that, and combined with the distortions and credibility of the media, however they are perceived among the scholarly class, the middle class, and the proletariat class. One moment. Hi, Ben. John and Don are on their way to call in, but they haven't called in yet.
Okay.
So I missed some of
what
that...
What did you mean?
They're about to call in. They haven't called in yet. It's just
no,
you and
I meant
me so
with
far.
your opening statement, the constitutional parameters in which the president is supposed to operate. Were you referring to quid pro quo?
I was referring to, no, it wasn't that specific. I was referring to something we discussed on Saturday night, and I sort of mentioned at the beginning of the first episode tonight that when a president takes office, he has constitutional boundaries by which he can operate, and how the Congress and the Supreme Court perceive those practices that he engages in, and if they see a distortion in those practices, then sometimes they're called upon it. So I was talking along those lines.
Okay.
So perhaps something as minor as one call to the Ukraine should not embellish a constitutional argument if the impeachment was involved, but in this case it was. But we
yeah, that seems like a real stretch, especially – it just seems like a real stretch, especially with the history of the last administration with quid pro quo that was a detriment to our country.
Well,
it
I was
just
talking
seems like
more
a lot of
– yeah, I wasn't even naming Trump per se. I was just talking about – how the Constitution's interpreted, who, you know, whether the media inflates that type of thing. And the Atlantic Monthly, I read part of an article Saturday night when you were not on the air about what their perception was about Trump's behavior in the Ukrainian incident.
But you see the difference, though? Like, the Uranium One deal, transferring money with foreign money going into Clinton Foundation, you know, pool for speeches, ridiculous amounts of money for speeches, and then turning around and giving them American uranium. That seems like more of a dangerous quid pro quo situation than asking Ukraine to look into corruption before we give them loads of money. Don't you understand that?
I agree with you the way you framed it. And by the way, our guest caller from New York is back on the line, plus John. But I do want to point out, Ben, that I was trying to explain this to John the other day. A lot of politics in Washington is contingent on who is at the – pretend that you're on a horse and you're leading the direction of the horse in a certain direction. It depends who is in charge and who has the power to maneuver that horse. And like if back in the days of Tip O'Neill and Ted Kennedy, there was more of a – concerted effort by the government to rise to the occasion of what should be done in a normative way on how the government should perform. But today it seems like bitter partisanship is running it, and that's why there was a giant investigation on Russian collusion based on just a couple of loose meetings with Donald Jr. and some Russian.
Right. Set up
and all
meetings,
that Paul
so
Manafort
that's
stuff
got
pulled into it and all that other stuff.
That's the part that got ignored is the opposition, the political opposition, was working in conjunction with the other branches of government to try to set these meetings up for that reason.
Well, good point. With that, I'm going to bring John and the other guest caller in, if you don't mind. And thank you for providing clarity to the beginning of our show. I did put a tongue-in-cheek title in for our show this episode. I said there's a mole in the deep state who's listening, but it was really tongue-in-cheek, so nobody please take it to heart. It's just perhaps the publicity is stunt to get more listeners. But by the way, go ahead with your thoughts, Ben. We have John on the line and the New Yorker, whose name I seem to have gone amiss again.
Hotep. It's most likely not his real name, but I'm not going to.
And by the way, I do have an article coming out in the Duluth News Tribune this week on James David Barber, who wrote the book Presidential Character in 1972 about presidential personalities, whether they're active, passive, active, negative, active. Okay, I'll tell you later because I'm spacing out. But anyway, go ahead with your thoughts, Ben.
Okay. I guess what I was saying was that this impeachment, after spending over $40 million on the Russia investigation with Mueller and his team, now we're going through impeachment based on a phone call of our president asking another country to look into some corruption before we give them any more money. So that's still within, that's in keeping with his oath of office to ask another country to clear up some corruption before we give them even more money. And because that's our tax dollars, so we shouldn't be giving it to corruption. Asking them to figure out some corruption is well within the oath of office. But if you take this impeachment and the circumstances with this phone call, and then compare that with the last few big things that's happened, you go back through Uranium One, the Iran deal, giving them loads of cash, trading prisoners, go back to the bailouts. Let's see, there's more. Benghazi. There's all kinds of things that would be impeachable offenses that were ignored from the other side of the aisle. So why is this phone call an impeachable offense?
Well, according to the Washington Post, and by the way, their modern-day byline is Democracy Dies in Darkness, it was bribery, corrupt dealings with foreign official, foreign influence in an American election. And according to them, promises to a Ukrainian leader for something in exchange for the investigation of Joe Biden and his son. That's what they consider blatantly illegal.
But all the previous things I mentioned weren't even on the radar.
I'm not saying it's not wrong. I'm just saying that I guess he offered up the transcript. And did you know last week Volodymyr Zelensky said that he was going to notify the feds about Trump's pursuit? And there also could have been some behind-the-scenes stuff with Rudy Giuliani. It wasn't just one phone call. There was several things done.
Okay. I guess,
just saying, I don't know. I would like some input
Adam
from John
Schiff
or
said,
the other caller. ProCop.
I got one more thing to say. And let's see. 12th of January 2017, Adam Schiff said that the intelligence community has six ways to Sunday to get back at Trump. So I think we've been able to count. I don't know what number we're at. We're at four or five now, right?
Yes.
It just seems like that was him giving the president a threat, and we've watched all of their threats come true.
Hi, Jane.
Right?
Hi, Jane.
Hi. Anybody can say something?
I'd like to say that I probably won't be calling much anymore, and here are the reasons. One is the title of your show is A Mole from the Deep State. Who is he? Who is listening? And at the bottom, you invited me to come back on. And it's definitely an insult to mature
discussion.
I didn't
say that
discussion.
You were
no,
the mole. It was an inside
joke
with
not,
the callers.
But let me show you. A mole is, in espionage jargon, a person that's an agent for a government typically. Deep state is a United States deep state conspiracy theory that suggests that collusion, cronyism exists within the U.S. political system under hidden government. And having a mature conversation with people over age 18, my intention is often not to just be an idiot, not to talk bull, but to really get to the core of what's wrong with our world. I think on the large picture, China, Russia, America, India, England, most of the nations that extremely powerful are extremely corrupt. The average person is not benefiting financially. But what happens is the average person is thrown a bone, a particular religious ideology, LGBT, straight, black, white, green, etc. And most people go for the bone. Some of us do not. I'm one of those people. So I don't like to be vilified, whether in a joke or not, because time is valuable. All of us are over 18. Life is short. If I'm going to communicate me personally and then it's taken and turned into something, whether you think it not or you think it's a joke or not, I'd rather not
participate because I'm way beyond that. I only had 7 minutes to write the description between shows, and my laptop was stolen this week, so I had to do it on my phone. So I took the easy way out and
just put
a flashy headliner.
Just change the title. Just change the title.
Let me change the title,
but give me a break. I'm trying to punch in callers and write show descriptions on my LG Android phone, and I didn't have time. I would like to respond to my own co-host for a moment. One thing, Ben, I would like to say regarding your rebuttal to what you think is the fabric of Washington is that starting with the first confrontation that Trump and his father had in 1973 regarding housing discrimination in New York, in which they discriminated against blacks and Hispanics. Trump has always kind of spoken about the law or talked about legal matters as an impediment to his own progress. So I think a lot of just neutral Americans who are not necessarily strongly Republican or Democrat view Trump as someone who is dismissive, likes to buck the system, and wants to get things done regardless of the law. So that's kind of like what the attitude is towards Trump in some circles.
That's a weak argument. That's a weak argument that, you know, to blame his father for discriminating against
minorities. I'm not talking about his father. I'm talking about his whole demeanor of just, when he sees something in the media he doesn't like and he impulsively responds to it, then he's always rather flippant. And it gives the idea to the American public that he's skirting the law, he's dismissive of the law, or that he doesn't really hold it in very high regard. He puts himself on the throne, not the American Constitution.
Most people break several laws.
Hey, Jane, there are two groups. One group see him as that. The other group see him as the great savior. He's riding in on the horse, and he's bucking the system, and he is not allowing these typical politicians to play games on it. And the two groups actually, they're arguing the same point, but from different sides of the coin. Only one has more truth, and the other side has more delusion.
Well, I'd like to respond to that.
I agree, and by the way, I don't view you as a non-credible caller. I love everything you have to say, and I think you provide balance to the show, so I promise you before I go to bed, I'll change the title of the show.
Well, here's a point to consider. This is a political opinion show. When you call in, you're giving your opinion. Donald Trump, the reason he's president is because people want a person that will say his convictions and will take the heat. If you say, you're going to tell a joke on me, now I'm going to run away. I'm going to go to mommy or daddy. No, we're adults. This is a wild jungle world, and there's conflict and war and people dying and selfish people and unselfish people, and you have to work with the rough and tumble of it all. So if you can't take a joke, if you can't take sarcasm, you're not going to last 2 seconds. That's why Donald Trump is president. He took them all, and he took them down. And that's why people vote for him. It's because, I want a guy that's going to grab the mic and say, this is it. This is the way. Follow me. It may not be perfect, but he's not going to cower down to what the opinion polls are. He's going to go his way. So
Well, that's the same Donald Trump that when he's critiqued attacks people. You're claiming that maturity, no one runs away, but yet you're protecting a leader who anyone that has defended truth against him, or even if it's not truth, if it's just, well, you know, I want to critique you, he has belittled. That's the same Donald Trump, or you're talking about someone else? Maybe I'm confused.
I'm talking about the man who's draining the swamp. He's draining the swamp, and the swamp is getting upset. When you go after a wild animal, when you go after people that manipulate, that traffic children, that take our kids to the Middle East and kill a million people for the American petrodollar, yeah, I'm voting for this guy. Definitely. He's the only one who's pointing the way back. The other options, because going to reality, your other options are 20 candidates who will give a socialized program and will spend anywhere from $30 to $93 trillion to fund their pipe dreams. Then this is the guy who's given us the number one economy, the number one military, the number one jobs and employment record and record Wall Street. Yeah, I have no problem with that.
And you have no problem with the deficit increasing at a high rate. You have no problem with him lying to us. And you have no problem with quid issues either. So clearly, you know, you just think one way. And I'm not that type of person. Okay, you go on, because I was going to say, I listen to all sides, but I don't just follow one person as though they're Jesus or Allah.
Same here. I'm going to try to bridge the gap here. Yeah, I look at things, I'm kind of a yin-yang type thinker also. So I like to be hypercritical because I don't like to be fooled. It doesn't feel good to be fooled. When you support something and then you find out you were wrong for supporting that, that's a bad feeling inside. But I like to be critical, but I also, being hypercritical doesn't leave any room for faith. So it feels good to have faith in something, and you can't deny that there's no other candidate that came before Trump who actually called out the media for what they were doing, and it's made people realize it and be skeptical of it and watch for it. And it's become true. They've seen it happen right in front of their eyes. Are you doubting what I'm saying right now?
Well, I'm doubting your foundation and your point about media. Media is not the core issue that's the problem, but some people put it as, well, it's the media. And that's not really the problem. So I can't agree to something that I don't agree is the real problem.
So, okay, make it simple then. Do you know of any instance when the media has lied to you?
But that, again, is a loaded question, because I don't think it even is the core issue that
we all face in the nation. That's a yes or no. That's not a loaded question. I'm not trying to
answer
you.
Yes or no to something. I didn't say you're trying to trick me. I'm saying that whether or not it's yes or no, it's a mute point from my position. It's an important one for you, but it's not for me.
Okay. For the nation, in your opinion, do you think that it's an important point for the majority of people to be skeptical of what they're fed in all of the mainstream media, especially when you look at the hierarchy of everybody owned by a pinnacle and how it's basically filters down? It's all the same message.
I mostly agree. Here's what I would agree 100%, that people, not only in America, but the world, should be critical of all their leaders and organizations, leaders and media. That, yes, but if we focus the energy on the media only, it's easy to distract us away from the bigger problem. It's like taking an equation and removing one part and trying to solve it. The bigger picture is all of our institutions seem to be corrupt. Therefore, people like me tend to be less likely to just gullibly agree to things. We rather analyze, think about it, do additional research. So that's why people like me don't just say, oh, yes, no, oh, yeah, definite on everything we're asked, because we would make a fool of ourselves if we haven't done the sufficient research and reflection.
Right.
So, to that point,
you have to be pragmatic. You have to be practical. So here's the dilemma you run into. three years ago, you had one of two choices, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, or a third party, which would have, you know, 2-3%. Now, again, right now, just realistically, you're going to have two choices, maybe three. You're going to have Donald Trump, unless they impeach him, which is what this is all about, or you're going to have the one of the three heads. He's going to be Bernie. No, he's got a heart attack. Elizabeth Warren, possibly. No one's really gotten her except for the Pocahontas thing and her crazy ideas for budget. And then you have Joe Biden, who's going to have a scandal that's going to blow him out of the water. Now, out of that, Hillary Clinton is threatening. She's saying, I've got all this pressure of people that want me to run for office. I can't, you know, I don't know who they are. But the point is, again, those are your choices. Now, what of those four choices, or do you have another one? And if not, if you're not willing to voice that opinion, because that's pragmatic, that's reality, there's not going to be a mystical alien come in from the planet to save us. So you have to make those one of four choices, or tell me your ideal candidate and what they want. Like, we haven't discussed, do you want open borders?
John's
do
on
you
the
want
line.
Food? Do you want free
I'm from,
education?
I'm from the,
forgive students.
I'm from the planet Thales. I'm from the planet Thales. I'm the mystical candidate
we
you're talking about.
The pink unicorn flying around the galaxy.
We haven't identified one tangible thing of what you really believe outside of, you know, kind of this whole we want a pure society and equal rights for people. But how do you implement that? Or do you want no government or little government running it? So explain
well,
your platform.
You have.
I will vote for you.
Yes,
I will vote for
equality
you. Equality your rubber platform.
Equality
you have asked
first. And taking
yes,
that,
you
saw my text. You saw my text, tax the wealthy corporation owners, 99% of their wealth, make them 99, part of our 99%ers, and let's see where they come from. You know, you got a president in there who has no clue what the regular people feel like because he got, what, $17 million when he was 18 years old and $73 million, or actually $56 million after that, that wasn't even legal. His, you know, dad had to do some while he was indicted for income tax evasion. So we're looking at everybody who is in there, who has money, has done it illegally, has been a cheat and a fraud, and they have not done anything right. And now we've got people who believe in them, who actually support them, and they're liars and cheats and frauds. That's not even right. That's, again, unconstitutional, immoral.
Okay, so reparations, that's your first, that's part of your platform. Go on, we need to deal with the economy, Social Security, health care, the jobs, China negotiation. Go ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you're talking that. Now, who is the caller's name? What is the caller's name?
Hotep.
Hotep.
An Egyptian word.
Okay, Hotep. Hotep.
Hi.
All right, go for it. Go. Let me hear what you got to say, Hotep. Go for it.
Our system is here in America structured on a mix of Roman and Kemet and a bit of British. If we don't evaluate as a society,
German,
nation,
German too,
the,
German too,
yeah, some German. That's true, especially the religious part. And people don't know it about God and the proto-Germanic etymology, etc. But if we don't evaluate the core, what we do is keep building on sand. So my thinking, and I'm sure some others who think the same way, is okay. We're going down the wrong road in many ways. We have more violence in school. We have lots of poverty. We have lots of the rich getting tax breaks that they shouldn't, while the poor are paying taxes typically. So at the core, if you follow the money, you start to, I think, identify the problem. And Trump has been great at marketing himself as caring for the average person. In actuality, he's extracting huge amounts of wealth. Because he has certain parts of his platform that people support, for example, anti-abortion, protect the borders from those terrible orange pickers that are supposedly coming across and causing the nation to go into turmoil, then I guess it could be a mix of cognitive dissonance or just subconsciously other reasons why they're denying that he's just a rich guy pimping us. And that's the way it would be said on the street. He could have on the hood and cane and pimp the people. The nation itself is not really benefiting. Who's benefiting is the military-industrial complex, the contractors, and the oligarchs at the top who tend to get the tax breaks and who often don't pay taxes and grow to be as big as Amazon. So whether we call it communism, socialism, capitalism, ya-ya-ya-ism, is preposterously a way to divide us. The truth is it causing pain for people or is it causing pleasure? And for most people in America, other than the delusion that things are better, they're worse off than they were, but they're distracted by who's LGBT, who's black, who's crossing the border, one bad guy out of 1,000 to pick oranges or get a job. Without them, the nation would be in lots of trouble. So we need more of a pain concept, not a political party concept. And I have the right and reserve the right not to choose a candidate right now, even though someone on this line keeps acting as though there's some law that says I have to. No, I don't. I appreciate the talk.
It's a political opinion show. You're calling to give your opinion, and you're not giving your opinion. That's redundant.
I think I understand.
Well, I said what my position was. You clearly aren't happy with it, and that's your problem.
Well, no,
okay,
no, wait a second.
Well, if you want to put words into my mouth, I'll open up and you can talk some stuff.
Are you saying then we don't need our military? What are you saying about the military? You're saying that we should just talk to China and hand them flowers in Russia. Are you saying that people that come across the border, I have to pay for their health care? That's what's being proposed by the Democratic Party, all of them. All of them raise their hands to that. I have to pay for my own health care and also for people who aren't even here legally. Are you saying open borders?
That isn't what I said. Yeah, but
what
you want is a narrative that you take from what I say and say what you want to say. How about you let say what I want to say? Is that okay in 2019? Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. So you can let me finish the point. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for allowing me in 2019 to articulate my platform. So what I'm saying is not how anyone else should decide, but I'm just saying at the core, the foundation, we should evaluate and have an intelligent discussion about the history of Rome, about what is democracy, who were the people that weren't allowed to vote in ancient Greece, about the Constitution and the founding fathers. From there, then each person as an adult, hopefully emotionally and intellectually, is able to say, huh, that's interesting. I never realized that. As opposed to just taking what we are spoon-fed and saying, well, what do you think about the borders? Why not do X, Y, Z? Well, before that, why not go back into grade 1, 2, 3 and let us discuss these things and learn the truth as opposed to speculating? Thank you, my friends.
I think I understand your position. It sounds like you feel like you transcend the left-right paradigm and you want nothing to do with it. Would libertarian be libertarian or anarcho-libertarian be something fitting for you?
None of them, actually. None of them, because all labels that we have tend to come with it certain people that have another perspective.
A label isn't defined by the person. A label is a tool to be able to understand something that there isn't a word for yet. So you can't just redefine a definition based on an identity of a person.
Well, you're talking meaning versus definition. There's a difference. There's a definition for a word, and then there's the meaning. The definition itself, we can all read the same words and come out with a different meaning. So my position is I don't fall into the trap of identifying a label that people come with their own biases. I have my biases. We all do. Instead, I look at a general description, a general idea, and evaluate it, not, okay, it's going to be X, Y, Z. Now, this doesn't always factor in, because if you get into specifics about a group, and a person like me doesn't agree, of course we have to be more specific, but in a group like such as this one, such specificity is not a wise decision, because conservatives often, unfortunately, may have a certain way of thinking, and my conservative communist falls into the trap of a fight. Instead, a dialectical approach to look at foundation concepts, principles, definitions, and etymologies.
Okay, that doesn't explain where you would like the country to be. And that's all the definition I'm asking for. It doesn't mean that you need to adapt to another group. That just means that you have an opinion. And it sounds like you're contradictory to every opinion.
No, I'm not. I gave it. You're hearing what you want to hear. I said, and I'll restate in different words, synonyms, if it will help you. We need a nation and a world where people don't just take a label, a party, a religious title, but actually look at the core of what those is under the label. You don't go to the store and just look at the package, look at what's inside the package. But I think that due to cognitive dissonance, et cetera, what I am saying you are hearing in a negative way, and that's fine.
I didn't say I was hearing anything in a negative way. I was trying to figure more about you and
no,
where
I know.
You would stand,
brother,
you
didn't
want.
Say it. But based on your response, that is what I am saying. I'm not saying you are saying it. I am saying after analyzing what you say, I can clearly see that nothing I say will make a difference, because you have an opinion about everything I say, and no matter what I say, your opinion is incalcitrant, and that's fine. That's just how it is. Thank you for participating.
You haven't committed
to
any position. We don't even know what you believe. And you're going to spend another 50 years researching and analyzing and coming up with magical words to use wizardry. It's very simple. When you see the girl on the dance floor, you say, I want to dance with
you.
I love
you. You should write poetry.
You don't say.
You should write poetry, magical, et cetera. Unfortunately, in scientific and academic circles, they'll laugh you out of the room. But stick to poetry, okay?
Well, with your poetry, they're usually, I need to understand what you want to accomplish as a candidate. See, I'm
well,
voting for you
a
right
great
now.
Question. You know what I want to accomplish? Where I can come on a radio show and communicate some points without individuals such as you taking those points and twisting them into another point. That's the very core that I would like to accomplish. Is that possible, feasible?
Yes, actually, I would just like a simple answer. Open borders
just to accept,
or no borders? A wall or no wall?
Can everyone accept what they're saying at face value? Because, John, it kind of happened before once with Debbie Allmantaser.
So you're saying you can't give me a definitive answer whether you think a wall is good or bad, whether we should keep people, give them free health care to come across the borders. This is the reality. You're not – do you understand what I'm saying? I'm just asking you a very
but
simple –
you're asking a question based on my question. Bro, you're not that smart, I guess, because I gave my original – no, let me finish before your privilege sets in. I gave my original position. I said core foundational beliefs. You skipped that and went to your position trying to get me to respond to it. I'm not falling for your chicken wings. So back off.
I'm not falling for your dancing. You're dancing. People have.
But it wasn't your response. It was mine. Why
okay,
not respond to my position?
Can you present a question to me, and I'll try to answer it from a pragmatic point of view?
Because
when you go
is
to the voting room, you have boxes to check, yes or no. You pick a candidate.
I'll
you
respond
pick the issue.
To the queen, the female that's talking, who had a question.
I
want to
know exactly what. Can you give me an example of what you're trying to say, either within the constitutional framework of our government or how, like when you first came on the show, I like what you said about the media being subjugated either by the mainstream media or these second-string news organizations. that are some are credible and some are not. So could you present some ideas that I could respond to?
Yeah, well, for example, Fox News. Fox News clearly has a leaning toward the right, toward the conservative, toward Trump. Then we go to CNN. They clearly have a leaning toward the liberal, toward its threat. Well, that is not news. That is propaganda. They're both marketing to their stakeholders. It can be advertisers, etc. They're marketing to the viewers. So if I watch CNN all the time, I'm going to hate Trump. If I watch Fox all the time, I'm going to hate the Democrats, or at some level not appreciate Democrats when they communicate their points. And my position and people like me, well, maybe we should listen to that and more. Maybe Al Jazeera, maybe some Latino stations, maybe some black-owned stations, maybe some atheist
National
stations.
National Public Radio.
Sources, NPR, WBAI, etc. But we take our info and then we become conditioned to think a certain way, and it's very difficult to change that. I think it's something like 200-plus days to change certain thinking. Well, how do you change it if we're all listening to one media and the opposing side to the other? And that's my position. That's why I call the show, because I like the titles. Other than the mole one, I like the other titles, and I thought, oh, these folks will be into discussing on a humane, decent way, you know, the foundations of what's going on in the nation and the world.
And we do.
I agree with what you just said. I agree with what you just said.
That's why we have so many different moderators. Our moderators are, we have maybe extreme ideas, but they all coagulate into one. And that's the good thing about this show, is that we have people who have their strong ideas about what is going on, but in the end, everything comes up into one main kind of mainstream condition or ideology, and that's the good thing about this show.
So, Hotep, do you believe that the First and Second Amendment are very unique to our country and very important to maintaining a society?
I don't think that our Constitution itself is unique to this country. I think if people look at, I don't know if any of you have heard of the Taino, T-A-I-N-O?
I haven't.
Or Kemet? Or
look
Kemet?
That up, Ben.
And,
look that up, Ben. Hurry up.
And or Kemet, K-H-E-M-E-T. There's typically nothing under the sun. What we often have is changes, whether it's theological, Muslim, Sunni interpretations of ancient texts, etc. But we're taking the old and just reinventing it. Music, reinvented. Philosophies, reinvented. It doesn't mean that the reinvention is good or bad. I'm not saying that, but it definitely is just the building from the subatomic level up to the macrocosm of society. And so that's why it's so important for each individual back historically, not just at what we want to see, but what actually exists. And then we start to see much more humanity in everyone as opposed to one group being vilified simply for existing.
I'm sorry, can you spell it Kemet? Is that what you said?
K-H-E-M-E-T, yes. In modern times, they call most of the region Egypt.
You seem to be very infatuated with Egypt. Is that a hereditarial thing? Is that a family lineage?
You're asking me about infatuation as in, what do you mean infatuation as in love?
No, he's asking you about your nationality.
No, I'm asking him because if you use the word infatuation, is like me asking him, he seems infatuated. No, words are important.
Don't worry about Ben. He's asking you, what is your nationality? What is your belief? Where do you come from and where are you going?
Oh, he asked all those things with that one statement. I can answer each of those that you expanded on. One, the use of the term.
That's what he asked.
Well, thank you for restating what he said. One, the use of infatuation is erroneous in this situation. Two, I am American. But three, I have ancestry from other parts of the world. Four, regarding Kemet, Egypt, he said, I'm infatuated by it, just like some people seem to be infatuated by ancient Greece or Rome. I tend to have more of a comprehension and understanding and appreciation of Kemet, Nubia, etc.